It's March 2000, and a demolition crew is at work on Porter Street in Battle Creek, Michigan. A small group of former Kellogg's employees watches as a wrecking ball slams into their former workplace, the company's south plant. 5 months ago, the factory Will Kellogg built in 1907 made its final batch of cornflakes. Now the breakfast that built the company is being made far away from Cereal City. As the wrecking ball pounds the facility to rubble, tears well up in the eyes of former workers. It's the end of an era. The company is on its knees. Kellogg's long reign as America's cereal king is over. Its stock price is depressed, and profits are gaunt. Copycat cereals are feasting on its biggest brands. The company is laying off workers, sapping morale of those who remain. But 3 miles away in Kellogg's headquarters, CEO Carlos Gutierrez makes a phone call he hopes will help restore the company to glory. Since joining Kellogg's in 1975, this Cuban refugee with a Burt Reynolds mustache has wanted the top job. Now that he's in the hot seat, he's shaking things up. In the past, Kellogg's barometer of success was the amount of cereal sold. Now, Gutierrez has got every executive focusing on dollars earned. It sounds simple, but by changing the measure of success from quantity to currency, Gutierrez is altering the $7 billion company's entire worldview. Now, executives who used to push high-volume, low-margin cereals like Rice Krispies are focusing on the high-margin products Gutierrez believes are central to recovery. And that's why he's on a conference call with Phil and Gail Tober. They're the husband and wife team behind Kashi, a small company based in La Jolla, California, that's built a cult following among health-conscious consumers for its all-natural whole grain and sesame seed cereals. Gutierrez outlines what will happen if the Taubers sell Kashi to Kellogg's.
You'll keep doing what you're doing. Kashi will stay in La Jolla, operating as an independent unit within Kellogg's. But you'll get to use our distribution, manufacturing, and research infrastructure to accelerate your growth.
Phil Tauber is interested, but cautious.
What's in this for Kellogg's?
All natural cereal has major growth potential. We believe the Kashi name appeals more to consumers of these cereals than Kellogg's.
Gutierrez is working on more than just a hunch. Last year, General Mills launched an organic cereal called Sunshine. Natural cereal devotees took one look at the General Mills Big Blue G logo on the box and snubbed it. These consumers don't just want cereal free from artificial ingredients. They want cereal free from multinational food giants, too. After the Taubers confer for a moment, Gail comes back on the line.
Okay, we're interested.
3 months later, in June 2000, Kellogg's buys Kashi for $33 million. But Gutierrez knows Kashi is a long-term bet. What he needs right now is a product that can push General Mills from its new position as the nation's top cereal maker. Luckily, Kellogg's European operations have exactly the breakfast option he needs. And it's a blast from the past. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. On the last episode, Kellogg's found itself besieged by cereal clones, just as a craze for oats crowned General Mills, America's new breakfast king. Now Kellogg's CEO Carlos Gutierrez is going after General Mills' Lucky Charms in a battle for the top spot. But he's up against strong headwinds because America's been losing its taste for breakfast cereal. This is Episode 6, Going Soggy. It's April 2001, and hundreds of Kellogg stockholders are filing into the W.K. Kellogg Auditorium in downtown Battle Creek. As they enter the Art Deco Concert Hall, they see illustrations of two enormous cartoon characters on the stage backdrop. On the right is the ever-exuberant Tony the Tiger. Next to him is the company's newest mascot, Ernie the Elf, the chubby-cheeked face of Kellogg's latest acquisition, Keebler Foods, the snack giant behind Cheez-Its. As the stockholders settle into the auditorium's purple upholstered seats, Kellogg's CEO Carlos Gutierrez walks onto the stage in a smart navy blue suit. He's feeling upbeat. Arch nemesis General Mills might still be ahead in cereal sales, but Gutierrez sees the $4.4 billion purchase of Keebler as a turning point. He steps up to the lectern and begins his annual address.
The Keebler deal signals the beginning of a new Kellogg's, a Kellogg's with a very different product portfolio.
He's right. Before buying Keebler, 70% of the company's sales came from breakfast cereal. Now, it's just 40%. Kellogg's is no longer a cereal company. It's a convenience food titan. But Gutierrez is not forgetting the company's roots.
Today, cereal is a tough market. Cereal is losing sales to yogurt, to breakfast sandwiches, to bagels, to granola bars, and even to no breakfast at all. But cereal is not yesterday's category. I believe cereal can come back. That's why we bought Kashi. That's why we're out to revitalize our U.S. cereal business. In the past year, we've stabilized our market share. Now, we must fight to regain market leadership.
And that fight is already underway. Pink and white boxes of Kellogg's latest cereal are arriving in stores across America. A cereal that's already been a smash hit in Britain and France. A cereal that taps into the buzz about antioxidant levels in red fruits.
Introducing new Kellogg's Special K Red Berry Cereal. Crunchy sweet flakes, now with slices of real strawberries, right in the box. Looking good, never tasted so great. Kellogg's Special K Red Berries. It's new.
That's right. Freeze-dried fruit in cereal is back. But this time, there's a difference. In the 60s, manufacturers poured breakfast cereal right into the box, but now they put the cereal in plastic bags that stop moisture from reaching the dehydrated strawberries and turning them slimy. Special K Red Berries quickly becomes the company's biggest new product since Rice Krispies treats in 1993. By spring 2002, the cereal is making more than $100 million a year, putting Kellogg's back at the top of the cereal league. Panicked, General Mills scrambles to devise a fruit and grain counterstrike. It's March 2003, and a crush of middle-aged women can barely contain their excitement as they crowd around a small open-air stage at the Florida Strawberry Festival in Plant City. On the stage, right in front of them, is David Cassidy, the 1970s teen heartthrob from the musical sitcom The Partridge Family. He's decked out in an open-neck black shirt and tight blue jeans. But he doesn't have the stage to himself. With him are two actors who've traded dignity for dollars. One twirls around the stage dressed as a giant freeze-dried strawberry. The other is decked out as a 7-foot-tall Cheerio in a bow tie and dress shirt. Cassidy brings the frosted strawberry and oversized oat hoop face to face and winks at the crowd.
We're gathered here today in the presence of these witnesses to join Cheerios and strawberries together in breakfast matrimony. I now pronounce you Berry Burst Cheerios.
The tongue-in-cheek marriage ceremony is part of a $40 million push to make Berry Burst Cheerios a breakfast favorite. There are also TV ads where Cassidy's chart-topping hit, I Think I Love You, plays under scenes of a yellow Cheerios box van and a pickup truck full of strawberry crates falling in love.
I think I love you, so what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid
Cheerios and strawberries have finally gotten together. New Berry Burst Cheerios, real strawberries, together with those classic O's for a taste you can really fall in love with.
Hey!
New Berry Burst Cheerios in both strawberry and triple berry.
Berry Burst Cheerios helps lift General Mills cereal sales 7%. But that's not enough to overtake Kellogg's. In 2005, Gutierrez leaves Kellogg's to become President George W. Bush's Commerce Secretary. By then, the company owns 34% of the U.S. cereal market, a full 2 points ahead of General Mills. And a good chunk of that success is thanks to Kashi. When Kellogg's bought Kashi, it was making just $25 million a year. But now, Kellogg's Incognito natural cereal brand's going supernova. By 2005, it's making $300 million. 2 years later, the figure doubles to $600 million. Kashi's a rare success story in a cereal market that's gone soggy, as people switch to Egg McMuffins, Pop-Tarts, croissants, and other eat-on-the-go breakfasts. And that's made some managers inside Kellogg's Battle Creek headquarters green with envy. They resent how the Kashi folks get free rein to do their own thing out in La Jolla while they struggle to squeeze growth out of mature brands like Corn Flakes and Frosted Flakes. They'd love to have Kashi's numbers included in the ledger for their corner of the Kellogg's empire. Soon, the Battle Creek managers start interfering with Kashi's once autonomous operation. Where before Kashi could rush out new products to capitalize on the latest trend, the division now has to jump through bureaucratic hoops. Then, in 2008, the grip tightens further. Kashi is told that the Kellogg sales force in Battle Creek will take over the task of selling its products to stores. One Kashi executive calls Kellogg CEO David Mackey and begs him to veto the plan.
This is a real bad move. You can't have the people who sell Fruit Loops selling our cereals. They've got zero connections with health food stores and the buyers at Whole Foods.
But Mackey's got the bigger picture on his mind.
We're in the middle of a billion-dollar global cost-cutting program. Integrating our sales force is an obvious saving. We don't need two sales teams when one will do.
By 2011, Kashi's growth spurt is over. Rivals are now beating Kashi to the market with new cereals that tap into the latest fads among the whole food set. Recession is causing people to cut back on luxury cereal. On top of that, employees who enjoyed the cool startup vibe Kashi once had are moving on. And there's more trouble ahead. It's April 2012, and in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, John Woods lugging a wooden crate through the Green Grocer, the natural food store he co-founded 5 years ago. Normally, this bushy, bearded businessman's a cheery guy, but today, he's in a bad mood. Last night, he found out Kashi uses genetically modified soybeans in its cereals. And for Wood and his customers, genetic engineering is a serious no-no. So, he's taking action. He reaches the cereal aisle and pulls box after box of Kashi into his crate. Soon, surprised customers gather in front of the empty shelf. One reads the posted sign aloud to the group.
You might be wondering where your favorite cereals have gone. It has recently come to our attention that 100% of the soy used in Kashi products is genetically modified.
Genetically modified?
The greengrocer's customers are shocked. They've been munching Kashi for years, thinking it's GMO-free, even though the box makes no such claim. Some customers take photos of Wood's sign on their smartphones and post them on Facebook. Within days, Wood's banishment of Kashi is national news.
A customer snapped a picture of this sign and posted it to the Kashi Facebook page. Many users responded frustrated. One writing, Kashi's ads are misleading and they should totally boycott it for being so deceitful all these years. Another writes, I'm disgusted. I've paid your premium prices and actually recommended Kashi to loved ones. Never again, Kashi.
It's a PR disaster for Kashi. The revelation infuriates Kashi fans who reject the evidence suggesting genetically modified crops are safe. On top of this, they're finding out that the hip cereal they've been buying is actually made by Kellogg's, the home of Frosted Flakes, Eggo waffles, Pringles, and Pop-Tarts. They feel like they've been duped. Kashi lurches into damage control. It pledges to eliminate genetically modified ingredients from its cereals by the end of 2014. But the damage is done. $200 million worth of sales are gone in a flash. It's a sharp lesson for the cereal giants that even in vogue brands can see the ground collapse beneath them as consumer values change. Kashi's organic image used to be enough. But as anti-GMO sentiment rises, it's falling behind the latest trend. And with General Mills and Kellogg's market share neck and neck again, it seems like the route to victory depends on adapting fast to the latest consumer health trends. But as General Mills is about to discover, customers can be a contradictory bunch.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
It's spring 2013, and in General Mills headquarters in Golden Valley, Minnesota, executives are grappling with a cereal conundrum. The riddle is, if people are abandoning cereal for foods they think are healthier,
why is Lucky Charms selling better than ever?
The marshmallows and sugared oats cereal is bucking every market trend. Last year, sales jumped 9%, and most of the boost came from the adults who now account for 40% of the people devouring Lucky Charms. To decipher the mystery, a woman from the company's Consumer Insights Department shares her analysis.
Consumers' food values change constantly, but when you cut through all the noise, the big message is that people want their food to be real. They want cereal free from synthetic dyes and artificial flavors, and they want to be able to pronounce and recognize what's on the ingredients list.
Cereal Chief Jim Murphy asks a question.
How does this square with more and more adults eating Lucky Charms? Are we looking at two types of consumer?
That's the really interesting thing. They're the same consumer. They might eat Greek yogurt in the morning because they start the day feeling virtuous. But by bedtime, they might snack on Cinnamon Toast Crunch because they feel they've earned a treat. Time of day, mood, and context, all of that matters.
The executives spend hours debating how to respond to these findings. They talk of running Lucky Charms ads late at night to reel in adult snackers. They agree to accelerate plans for gluten-free Cheerios. And they wonder just how much sugar they can cut out of their cereal before consumers reject the taste. Finally, Murphy zeroes in on the question of artificial ingredients.
Given the trend, I can't see a future for artificial colors and flavors in our cereals. How realistic is it to remove those ingredients?
Cereal developer Kate Gallagher replies,
It'll be tricky. Using natural ingredients to replicate the vivid colors and fruit flavors of a cereal like Trix will be a serious challenge.
Murphy rubs his stubbly chin for a moment and then replies,
We should try all the same. I'd like to remove artificial ingredients from most, if not all, of our cereals.
2 years later, in early 2015, Murphy's in the General Mills test kitchen, sitting at a faux wood countertop and staring into a bowl of all-natural Trix. It's a far cry from the Day-Glow cereal loved by millions. While the purple, yellow, and orange corn puffs could pass for the original, the reds aren't as bright, and the lurid green and turquoise hues are nowhere to be seen. Gallagher, dressed in a white lab coat, holds her breath as Murphy digs into his bowl of Trix. She and her colleagues have spent months making Trix natural. They've experimented with hundreds of recipes. They've tried and rejected colors made from spinach, beetroot, and tomato. And at every step, they've had to make sure that the new colors and new flavors don't counteract each other. But now, after months of experiments, she thinks they've done it. Question is, will Murphy agree? Murphy finishes his mouthful and gives Gallagher a thumbs up.
Tastes really close to Trix to me. Well done. What are you using for the colors?
Yellow is turmeric. Orange is annatto extract. Purple is a mix of blueberry, strawberry, and radish juice. The reds are radishes and purple carrots.
Carrots?
Trix's rabbit will not be pleased. So, you think this might be the recipe?
Yeah, I do. We need to hear how the taste tests go, but this could be the one.
And it is. In June 2015, General Mills stuns cereal fans by announcing it's stripping artificial ingredients from Trix and Reese's Puffs as part of a pledge to eliminate artificial ingredients from 90% of its cereals by 2017.
Turning now to a health alert this afternoon, a big change for some of the best-known breakfast cereals. After decades on the market, General Mills is recreating its recipes minus the artificial ingredients. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis got an exclusive look at some of those healthier choices.
Natural Trix is a hit. Trix lovers who abandoned the cereal over its artificial ingredients come back to the fold, raising sales 6%. By August, Kellogg's is playing catch-up, promising to remove artificial ingredients from Fruit Loops by 2018. But not everyone's won over by Trix's natural transformation. Trix loyalists lobby General Mills to bring back the dazzling breakfast they grew up on.
barraging the company with emails and social media commentary. In 2017, they get their way.
And a blast from the past. You will soon be able to pick up a box of the original Trix cereal from your local grocery store. The colorful cereal will once again be made with artificial dyes and flavors, nearly 2 years after they were banished from the box.
Not that General Mills is abandoning the natural version. Instead, the company decides to sell both the classic and natural Trix, which results in a massive 60% boost to sales. Both General Mills and Kellogg's take it as a sign that even in an age of omega-3 raisin bran and ancient grain Cheerios, there's still life in candied cereals. The following year, Kellogg's tries winning over the candy crowd with chocolate Frosted Flakes. General Mills starts sprinkling unicorn marshmallows into boxes of Lucky Charms. But whether the cereal giants are trying to woo the sweet-toothed or appeal to the health-conscious, they're both desperately trying to defy gravity. Since the dawn of the new century, the U.S. cereal market's gone soggy. In 2000, cereal was a $14 billion business. Today, it's worth just $8.5 billion, and retailers like Walmart are scaling back cereal shelf space. For General Mills and Kellogg's, it's no longer about who can grow fastest. It's about who can fall the slowest, as more and more of us abandon the breakfast bowl. But even as their cereal riches wither, these giants are far from dying on the vine. Just check the packaging of the cereal bars, breakfast shakes, yogurt cups, and toaster pastries. These products may be eating away at the cereal business, but there's still a very good chance that you're starting your day with Kellogg's and General Mills. From Wondery, this is Business Wars, and I hope you enjoyed this series. We invite you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find a link on the episode notes. Just tap or swipe over the cover art, and you'll see some offers from our sponsors. We hope you'll support our show by supporting them. If you like what you've been listening to, it would be great if you give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe while you're at it. There's another way you can support us. Go over to Wondery.com/survey and answer a few questions. Don't forget to tell us what business war stories you'd like to hear. A quick note about the conversations in this episode. We can't know exactly what was said sometimes, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Donna Hyams edited this story. Our editor and producer is Jenny Lauer Beckman. Sound designed by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producer is Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.